Chapter 5, so if you want to find your place over there, we'll read our verses for tonight. Give you just a moment to turn over there. Let's remember all of our young people in our prayers, and I'm thankful for the answered prayer concerning the In God We Trust posters being put in the school, and now we just need to pray concerning the book and the situation there. God's able to put things in, and God's able to put things out, and so we've already seen answer to one of those prayers, and so let's continue to make that an object of prayer as well. And James chapter 5, we're going to read really tonight, just going to be looking at the last part of verse number 16, but we'll pick up there in the middle of verse number 16 and go ahead and read through verse number 18. But in the middle of verse 16, this is where we got to last week. It says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And we just want to look tonight, or what I've had on my heart since last week, just been thinking about the last part of verse number 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's only 10 little words there. You think about that. 10 words. But what a great message in those 10 words. I counted all the letters in those 10 words. There's 52 letters. That's all that it is. That's like saying the alphabet through 2 times. Not very much. Anybody in here could memorize that just within a few minutes. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yet I wonder tonight how many of God's people really know the truth of this verse or could apply this verse in their lives. I mean, we know about prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. We pray. We pray as individuals. We pray as a church. I think that I'm not the only one that thinks that it's important on Wednesday night that when we come together that we pray. And we come around the altar and we pray together as a body. We realize tonight how very important that is, but do we pray effectual, fervent prayers that avail much? That's the question tonight. Is that the kind of praying that we do? Now, here's a wonderful truth from the Word of God. I know how people are. They say in the Christian life, well, there's not much I can do. People say, well, I will never be a preacher. I cannot get up in front of people and talk. A lot of people say, well, I'm not even good. I'm shy, talking one-on-one, hard for me to talk to people. I can't sing. I'll never be a pastor or a missionary. I'll never be a Sunday school teacher. But the good news is that the greatest work you can be involved in, doesn't matter if you're a public speaker, doesn't matter if you're comfortable talking to other people, it doesn't matter if you really don't feel like there's very much that you can do, the occupation of prayer is just wide open to whosoever will. And so, and it's, as I've already said, it's the most important work. It's the hardest work. It's the work that most people would not want to do because it is a hard work. Talking about the work of prayer, and it is work. The occupation of being a prayer warrior. But we need some prayer warriors in the church. We need some prayer warriors among God's people, and that can be filled by anybody. Anybody can be a prayer warrior. man, woman, boy, girl, young, old, weak, strong, outgoing, shy, robust, infirm, educated, uneducated, none of that stuff matters when you're talking about prayer. What matters is how much faith do you have? How much time are you willing to put into the matter of prayer? That's what matters. Do you have courage in the things of the Lord? That's what matters when it comes to being a prayer warrior. Now, look back in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews is right before the book of James. And I know you're familiar with this scripture, and there's a lot of verses in the Bible about prayer. And I just wanted to read a few verses over here about prayer in Hebrews chapter number 4, how important prayer is and who can pray. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That's talking about the ministry and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and His capability, not ours. But it says in verse number 16, because of who He is and what He has done, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." So the question for us tonight, are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Then verse number 16 applies to you. It applies to me. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Isn't that a privilege tonight that we, as not infinite, the Lord is infinite, we're finite, which means we are like that vapor of smoke that James is talking about there. Whereas what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. We are so small. We are so insignificant when it comes to the universe, when it comes to creation and the great things which God has made. And when we look out at the sun, the moon, and the stars and all these things, you think about how small we are in comparison to all these things. Yet God in His Word says, "Let us come boldly therefore unto the throne of grace." And any one of us tonight that's one of God's children, we have the right, we have the privilege to come before the Lord and say, my Father, or we pray, our Father which art in heaven. That's our privilege that we have. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the right of prayer to come before the Lord. And so we know James chapter number 5, verses 13 down through verse number 18 is talking about prayer. And we're continuing on. I guess if we were given a title to this tonight, we would call it effectual prayer or effective prayer. That's just what I want to look at tonight and think about that thought. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there's about four things in these 10 words that I want us to try to look at tonight. And the first is that word effectual. Effectual. What's this verse mean? What's it talking about? I am interested in a prayer that avails much. And a prayer that avails much is an effectual prayer. Well, that's not a word that we use every day. And the word effectual, I think I remember right, is only found 6 times in the Bible. Effectual. And it's not a word that we use in our everyday language, but we can probably figure out what it means because we use words that are close to that. But the word effectual, it means this: producing an effect, or the effect desired or intended, or having adequate power or force to produce the effect. So effectual has to have enough power, having enough force to produce an effect. And we use the word effective. If something is effective, that means that it's working. If we use it concerning medicine, if medicine works, it's effective. If you're sick and you go to the doctor and he gives you some medicine and you take that medicine and in, we'd like to say a few hours, but give it a day or so and you get to feeling a whole lot better, you say, that was good stuff. That worked. That caused me to get better. That was effective upon the sickness that you had. And effectual is associated with power or force in the Bible as well. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, Paul said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So if we look in the Bible at Bible definitions, effectual working of his power. It's something that works. It's something that has power behind it. So we're talking about prayer that works and prayer that has power behind it. Prayer that is effective is effectual prayer. I was thinking about today as I was studying, I thought about batteries. You know, we are a society, we run on batteries, all kinds of batteries. I mean, everywhere you look in life, everything, or not everything, but so many things have batteries. You got here tonight in your car because the battery was effectual. It was effective. It was working. I was playing with a flashlight earlier today, and I was thinking about the batteries in that flashlight and your cell phone. Now everybody, just about everybody has a cell phone, and they run off of batteries. And if your battery dies and you turn it on or you flip it open or whatever you do and there's no light, you know your battery is probably went dead or it's lost its power. Now, we do not actually see the battery work. You don't see a battery work. But you know it's working because of the effect of it. You see the evidence of it. You know your battery in your car worked because when you turn the ignition over, your car started. Or you turn a flashlight on. You don't see that battery work, but you see the light. So you know that the battery is working, or you make a call on a cell phone. And so you see the effectiveness, the power that's in that battery. And so our prayers, people pray and talk about praying all the time. I have people ask me all the time, we help pray about this. And we get emails and messages and phone calls and all kinds of calls that go out for prayer. And maybe we even say something, but are they effective? Are they effectual? Can we see them working? That's the question. Not whether we say some words or not, because lost people pray. You know that. We know that. People that don't know the Lord will talk about, keep us in your prayers, or we prayed for you, or but effectual. That's what we're aiming at. That's what we ought to be interested in. That's what we ought to be desirous of, is effectual, something that is effective, something that works. If we just go through words, we're no different than a heathen religion. We're no different than somebody that prays to Buddha or prays to Allah or prays to Mother Nature or prays to the sun or the moon or any number of things that people say prayers about. Now, here's something I've noticed. People that don't pray, or maybe they don't want to say pray, they'll say, I need some good vibes. I've seen that. I've seen people ask for somebody going through something. They'll say, send some good vibes our way. You think that's really going to do anything? But a lot of times, don't you think our prayers, that's about all they are, is sending some good vibes, some good thoughts. Well, I hope everything's all right. Well, now that's a whole lot different than effectual. effectual. You may not see it working, but it works. You see the evidence of it. And so James here, James is a man of prayer. James knows about answered prayer. And he makes a statement, 10 little words. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It's effective. And he gives an example in verse number 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions, as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I'm telling you, that was an effectual prayer. That was an effective prayer. That was a prayer that had some power behind it. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. That's an effective prayer. And so that we ought to be interested in, the effectual. And then the next little word there is fervent. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we ask ourselves the question, first of all, do I have effective prayers? Do I have fervent prayers? And that's what he says. Not just effective, but effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, in the Greek language, the language the New Testament is written in, effectual, fervent is just one word. If you study it out in, say, a Strong's Concordance, there's one word. In our English language, it's translated as two words, effectual, fervent. But in the Greek language, it's the word energio. What's that sound like? It's spelled like this, E-N-E-R-G-E-O. That's close to one of our words, isn't it? It's where we get our word energy from. Fervent, effectual, fervent has energy behind it. And we know in order to get anything done, we have to have some energy along with it. We have to have some power to get plugged into. And so fervent, our English word fervent, that's what that is talking about. This morning, I'm the coffee maker. Nobody in my house knows how to make coffee except me. I wish somebody would learn, because it's not hard. But if I'm not around, it won't get made. And so they wait on me to make the coffee. Well, I was going about my coffee making duties and put the water, put the ground, just like I always do, mashed the button, and no light came on. And so I mashed it again. That's what we do. We mash it and mash it and mash it. And the more I mashed the button, the coffee maker didn't come on. So I unplugged it and plugged it in the socket above it. Same thing. No power. Well, I unplugged it, moved it over to another socket that I knew I had power on that one, and lo and behold, it come on. So I moved it back where it was to begin with, and I hit the button again, and it come on again. So you know what that lets me know? The problem is not in the power. The problem's in the coffee pot. I know I've got power there, but something is keeping the energy from getting to my coffee pot. It'll get there sometimes, but not all the time. And that's how our prayer life is sometimes. And that's how a lot of things are. Sometimes it's not that there's no power, but the power's not getting where it needs to get to. There's no problem with the Lord. God's not stopped answering prayer. The problem's not with Him. The problem, if there's a problem, the problem's with us. And a lot of times we just don't have the energy or the fervency in our prayer life that we ought to. Some people say, I have a hard time praying in the morning. I keep going back to sleep. I wonder sometimes if it was possible if our prayers wouldn't put the Lord to sleep. There's no fervency to them. Fervency, it means, literally, it means to be hot, to boil, to glow. It's where we get our word fever from. If you're hot and you got a fever and you're running a temperature, it's where we get our word fever from, fervent. It means to be ardent, to be very warm. Webster's Dictionary says it means to be earnest. And we also see our built-in Bible dictionary says it's to be earnest. Verse 17, if we didn't understand verse 16 and we didn't have a dictionary and we didn't have a concordance, we could still know what fervent was. Because it said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our example, verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. There's a definition for fervently. Fervently, earnestly, excited is what it means. Animated is what it means. Here's an example that come in the mail, and I read it. Not Brother Dale, you seen he handed me this letter, and I hadn't read it before tonight. But Brother Imperial's talking about a typhoon bearing down upon the home in which he lived, or his city that he lived in. And I noticed that he said, as the typhoon was coming, he said, we were on our knees praying that the Lord would spare us while it was battering many places south of us. The Lord changed its course and we felt the strange winds and only light rains which didn't last long. What kind of praying do you think Brother Imperial was doing as there was certain destruction going to hit their city and they'd been warned and told and there's nothing? Do you think they were praying dry, boring, sleepy prayers about that thing? Or do you think there were some effectual, earnest, fervent prayers being said? I say there was some fervent praying going on. There's some prayers that had some heat to it going on. I brought a book with me. This is of Plymouth Plantation. It's the story of the pilgrims that came to America. And it's written by Governor Bradford, 1608 to 1650. And I was reading in here yesterday, and I wanted to share something with you. He talked about fervent prayer. And see if I can find what page it's on. Page, I thought I had it marked. All right, he's talking about a storm at sea in a boat. And any time I'm at sea or the times I've been, I know about effectual fervent praying because I don't like the water. But he's talking about them, they were trying to get from England to Holland. And they had to basically pay somebody under the table to get them to even take them there. Talks about in the book about their religious freedom. They wouldn't let them stay and they wouldn't let them go. It's in a bad spot. So they had to steal away to another country. And there was a great storm. It said afterwards they endured a fearful storm at sea. And it was 14 days or more before they reached port, in seven of which they saw neither sun, moon, nor stars. Being driven near the coast of Norway, the sailors themselves often despaired, and once with shrieks and cries gave over all, as if the ship had foundered and they were sinking without hope of recovery. But when man's hope and help wholly failed, there appeared the Lord's power and mercy to save them. For the ship rose again and gave the crew courage to manage her. If modesty permitted, I might declare with what fervent prayers the voyagers cried to the Lord in their great distress, even remaining fairly collected when the water ran into their mouths and ears. Now, I would be panicking, I think, if it got that bad. And when the sailors called out, "We sink, we sink," they cried, if not with miraculous, yet with sublime faith. Now the sailors cried out, "We sink, we sink." But the pilgrims cried out, "Yet, Lord, thou canst save. Yet, Lord, thou canst save." I bet that was fervent, don't you? "Yet, Lord, thou canst save. upon which the ship not only righted herself, but shortly afterwards the violence of the storm began to abate, and the Lord filled their afflicted minds with such comfort as but few can understand, and in the end brought them to their desired haven, where the people came flocking, astonished at their deliverance, the storm having been so long and violent. They had effectual, fervent prayers when the great emergency of their lives was upon them. That's the kind of prayer James is talking about, the effectual, fervent prayer. Of a righteous man availeth much. Sister Mick was telling me a while back about when she was young, and they used to walk to church, and there was a trail went across the mountain this way from Laurel Creek Road, come around the mountain, Liberty Hill, I guess, that direction, up to the church. And she's talking about being young and walking on that trail and coming to church. And she said, there's a place up there. And she said, the men would get up there and pray during revival or before revival. And she talked about coming upon those men, and they were praying. And she said, and it would scare you to death. She said, because they were praying out loud. All those men gathered praying out loud. And she said, and boy, they meant business when they prayed. They meant business. Effectual, fervent prayer. Well, should we pray out loud all together? Some churches do. And honestly, that doesn't bother me. Now, if you've never heard a church, a group of men or ladies get together and really call out to God together in prayer loudly, fervently, it will scare you. I remember the first time I ever was in a church and they prayed like that, and I thought there's a tornado or something. I didn't know what that noise was, but the men had went into the back to pray before the service, and I'd never been around that I could remember anything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good if God will let you do that. I don't think we ought to do it just for doing its sake, though, or just to imitate. That would be having a form of godliness. You know, if we didn't believe that it was doing any good, then it wouldn't do any good. The Bible talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But if we could pray that way, we ought to pray that way. Wouldn't be nothing wrong with it. Be good. Some of the best prayer meetings I've ever been in was that kind of praying, where the people called out to God out of a heart that is not a show, not a trying to outdo or compete one with another, but just fervent praying. Effectual, fervent praying. Fervent praying is Romans chapter 8, and verse number 26, praying. I know you know what the Bible says over there, Romans chapter 8, verse number 26, where it's talking about prayer. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's our weaknesses. When we don't know how to pray, and when we feel like we can't pray. Have you ever been like that, and the Spirit of God come along and helped you pray? That's fervent praying. Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Unless you prayed like that, that's hard to explain what kind of praying that is, but it's real praying. It's fervent praying. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, is what the Bible says. And so it's a praying that is helped by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that fervency as a whole is discouraged by our society, except on things that don't matter. Now, the world doesn't care a bit if you paint your body black and gold and go out to the football stadium with no shirt on and a pair of shorts on, and you paint it up like an Indian warrior and shave a mohawk down through the and get out there and scream and holler and just act like the biggest fool it ever was. The world sees nothing at all wrong with that. It's all right if somebody wants to be fervent towards something that really don't matter. But if you are fervent about things that matter, you're looked upon as an oddball and a nut. If you're fervent about the things of God, if you are ardent and earnest about the things of the Lord, why, you're just a nutcase. You probably need to be locked up. It's the way our world looks at things. Doesn't matter if you act a nut about something, it don't matter, but you get on fire for God. You get on fire for the gospel, for freedom, liberty, things that matter. Well, it's almost like our whole society's sedated. Just on a downer, on some kind of drug that just keeps people from being excited about the right things, because apathy and indifference abounds all round about us. But fervent prayer is Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7 praying. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What if the answer to what you've been praying about was just right on the other side of that door? I mean, the answer. Whatever it is in your heart, in your soul, that you have been earnestly asking and praying about, you'd love to see God do that one thing more than anything else, and it was just right on the other side of that door. How loud would you knock, and how long would you knock if you just knew it was that close? Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Fervent pray. I think we're missing that many times in our prayer life. The effectual, fervent prayer. Number three, of a righteous man. A righteous man. Not just anybody, but a righteous man. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of righteousness. Our society, the modern day Christianity says, I'm saved, I'm justified. I know if I died, I'm going to heaven. I can live any way I want to and do anything I want to. And I don't care what anybody thinks about me. That's a modern Laodicean attitude. But the old time prayer warriors put emphasis upon that righteous. And it wasn't just I'm saved, I'm justified, I'm going to heaven. It was a right living, doing right, living right, going above and beyond to please the Lord. I believe that's the righteous man that Elijah was. A righteous man availeth much. Righteous in living. Righteous in doing right. Psalm 66 verse number 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. A righteous man. And there's a real good study about righteousness. And God puts a great value upon a righteous life. Somebody that wants to please Him. Desires to do right in all of their life. A righteous man. Then it says this, and I'm moving on, but not because it's not just as important as the rest. It's probably more so, because if you're living right and quiet, I believe that would carry more value than being loud and not being right. Or righteous. Anybody can be loud. Anybody can act fervently, but that righteousness, that's the basis of our answered prayer life, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. And then it says this, availeth much. Avail. Avail. Availeth much is what the Bible says. That availeth much. It means to be strong or able. It means to profit, to be a force or authority. We probably don't use the word avail very much, but we use the word prevail. It means the same thing. To prevail means to overcome, to gain the victory or superiority, to gain the advantage. Availeth much. Boy, prayer will get things done. We won't have to wonder, has God answered our prayers? We'll know God's answered our prayers. Because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And notice what the Bible said. What is it that avails much? It doesn't say the sermon of a righteous man availeth much. It doesn't say the song of a righteous singer availeth much. It doesn't say the good organizing of a church. Boy, a lot of churches, they're really organized down to the T. I've been in some churches like that, and thank the Lord, it takes being organized. But it's not organizing that avails much, it's prayer. You really want to see something of eternal value done, then the way to get it done is through prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've already said this at the beginning, but I believe we've seen God answer prayers lately. I believe it was answered prayer that put the "In God We Trust" in the school. I mean, after all, the lawyer had already said you can't do that. And boy, if a lawyer says you can't do something, boy, everybody runs and screams and don't guess we can do it. But I guess you can. I guess the Lord answered a prayer there. God can put things in. God can take things out. It avails much. You see it working. See it working. So that's worth some meditating on. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we're going to stop with that tonight. That's just a little few words, but boy, what lessons we find in the last part of verse number 16.